WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A new book sheds light on the personal life of Eleanor Roosevelt, the former First Lady who worked for human rights and social justice around the world. My guest is the author of the new book, Kindred Souls, about the friendship between Mrs. Roosevelt and her physician, Dr. David Gurevich. He was her most intimate friend during the last 15 years of her life. She was 18 years older than he was and appears to have had romantic feelings toward him, which he didn't share, although he treasured their close friendship. He became Mrs. Roosevelt's doctor and friend in 1948. 10 years later, he married my guest, Edna Gurevich. Mrs. Roosevelt died in 1962. Dr. Gurevich died in 72. His widow's new book, Kindred Souls, reprints many of the letters that Dr. Gurevich and Mrs. Roosevelt wrote each other. Edna Gurevich was urged by the former director of the FDR Library to write a book about Mrs. Roosevelt. I asked her how her husband and Mrs. Roosevelt met.
David was making a house call on a patient during 1945 in New York City. And when he rang the bell, the door was opened by the wife of the President of the United States, which somehow was surprising. In any case, she saw that how he approached a patient and so on, because Mrs. Roosevelt was so observant. But then, shortly after the president died, she moved back to New York, and she asked him would he be willing to be her doctor. And he wrote in his journal, "I agreed." And then she said, "I shall try not to bother you too much." But 2 years later, they were both on the same flight to Switzerland because he was going for a tuberculosis cure for himself. And she was going to Geneva to United Nations meetings. And she thought that going over would make the trip easier for him. And it was a four-day journey from air flight from New York to Switzerland because they were fogged in for 3 days in Shannon. And in that suspended time, they got to really know each other. He had been a polio specialist, and I really believe that that had to connect them. And they exchanged their life stories, and they started to be friends, and that's when the correspondence. She wrote him almost every day following that trip.
Was David aware that she had romantic feelings toward him?
Yes, I think he knew everything, but they both treated it very maturely. And also, he was first of all a doctor. And in the olden days, a doctor was an authority figure. So she looked up to him as someone who took care of her. He was the only one who did.
There's a letter that she wrote to David in 1948. This was just a couple of years after they met. You begin your book with this letter. Would you read it for us?
This letter had been circulated by the Smithsonian Institution in 1984 for 2 years around the country because it shows Mrs. Roosevelt's the motivation of her life. "The people I love mean more to me than all the public things, even if you do think that public affairs should be my chief vocation. I only do the public things because I really love all people. And I only love all people because there are a few people whom I love dearly and who matter to me above everything else. These are not so many, and of them you are now one. And I shall just have to try not to bother you too much." It's dated April 17, 1948.
Before we talk about how you and your husband met and how well you got to know Mrs. Roosevelt, I'm going to ask you to read a letter that she wrote in 1956. And this was shortly before you met your husband, David.
It's dated February 8th. And I'm sure it's 1956. "David, my dearest, I've been sitting here thinking of you tonight and wondering why I make you feel shy. I want you to feel at home with me, as you would with a member of your family, and I can't achieve it. Something wrong with me. I'd love to hear you call me by my first name, but you can't. Perhaps it is my age. I do love you, and you are always in my thoughts, and if that bothers you, I could hide it. I'm good at that. You read me a lecture and I thought you really cared, and so I'm being very careful, but it is a good deal of bother. Anyway, I'll see if I can go on for a while. In the meantime, love me a little and show it if you can, and remember to take care of yourself, for you are the most precious person in the world. All my love.
Now, when you met your husband, David Gurevich, you didn't know much about his relationship with Eleanor Roosevelt. You knew they were good friends. And you write in your book that you think it's a good thing that you didn't know more because yes. It might have made you self-conscious. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, it would have made me extremely self-conscious. The friendship had been established by the time I came into the picture. And therefore, there was nothing really much for him to tell me. While he respected her confidences and he respected her altogether, he wasn't going to gossip about her. He never gossiped about really anybody. And he certainly respected who she was. And I took it at face value, and it was very easy to do so.
Now, Mrs. Roosevelt was 18 years older than your husband. And how much older was she from you?
Well, Mrs. Roosevelt was four decades older than I, and she was older than my mother. And therefore, it was easy for me to see her not only as Eleanor Roosevelt, but after a while, I saw her only as Mrs. Roosevelt. If I may interject a thought here, one should know that... people who knew Mrs. Roosevelt well and closely always refer to her in life as Mrs. Roosevelt. And those who didn't know her or knew her not well or didn't know her at all always refer to her as Eleanor, except those who knew her when she was a girl, and they're not around much anymore.
Is there a good explanation for that?
Yes, because she was, in spite of her simplicity and in spite of her... her directness and her openness. She was an awesome person, and you felt it, and there's no way around it. She wanted David to call her by first name, of course, and he couldn't. And he couldn't for more reasons than one. I mean, he wanted to establish a boundary in their relationship, and calling her by last name enabled him to do that. But in addition... her presence and the kind of dignity she had in private, the kind of authenticity she had, which is so unique, really, I think is the answer to your question. You couldn't call her by her first name.
How much time did the three of you spend together after you were married?
Oh, we spent a good deal of time. She called David every morning. He was the first one she called every morning. And to her... time was a treasure. So she spoke for about a minute. Before we were married, she told me that she called him every morning. And then she asked, would it my permission for this practice to continue? And of course I said yes. And that moment of touching base with him was very important to her. And he liked it, and so it took a minute before they set off on their separate busy days.
You write in your memoir that you were amazed by the bottomless neediness that coexisted in Mrs. Roosevelt with her enormous strength. And you say, if I did not understand the private loneliness against which Mrs. Roosevelt struggled, I would find it hard to reconcile the description of the young woman full of self-doubt we read about with the strong, wise woman I knew. Did that always seem like a contradiction, her neediness and her strength?
No, because I didn't know the depth of that neediness until I read the letters that she wrote, and that was after she died. I knew that there was a real loneliness, but I did not know about the neediness until I read the letters. And then when I read David's journals and he refers to her as having been chronically lonely because... her early life was so difficult. I mean, her father died when her father was 27 years old. Her mother died when her mother was 29 years old. A brother died at the age of 4 years old. There was nothing but loss in the family, and the closeness with the father that she loved was quite extraordinary because he demonstrated love to her. He was soft with her. Her mother was not. So David was always conscious of the fact that loneliness was always there, and I became conscious of the fact afterwards.
You write a little bit about Lorena Hickok. She was Mrs. Roosevelt's close friend and frequent traveling companion. And some historians think that Lorena Hickok and Mrs. Roosevelt had a lesbian relationship. You write in your book that you don't think they ever did.
Yes, I don't. It started out to be a footnote in my book and then ended up in the text. It was such a small item for me to notice. And I'm a good one to talk about it in a way because my husband was Mrs. Roosevelt's confidant. He was also a sophisticated European man. He was not non-judgmental in any way. And I have the medical history of Mrs. Roosevelt since the time that she left Washington when Bethesda Naval Hospital sent it to David. And also from my own observations under all different kind of circumstances. And David's conversations with me about her as we lived together and went around together. And nowhere was there any indication, I mean, of any sort. In fact, quite the opposite was the case. I think that she would, as I've said before, she really loved and would have loved to have a man love her. And in those days, independent women really counted on each other. Mrs. Roosevelt was always a very, very devoted and loyal person, and once she was your friend, she would always be your friend.
My guest is Edna Gurevich, author of the new book Kindred Souls, The Friendship of Eleanor Roosevelt and David Gurevich. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Edna Gurevich. Her new book, Kindred Souls, is about the close friendship between her late husband, Dr. David Gurevich, and Eleanor Roosevelt. The doctor was Mrs. Roosevelt's closest friend during the last 15 years of her life. Were you and your husband and Mrs. Roosevelt ever the subjects of gossip?
Yes, but even to this day, in a way, people still ask me how things were with the three of us. David minded it. Mrs. Roosevelt never cared. She told me that she had taught herself years ago that negative criticism should be never taken seriously because it detracts from the energy you have in life to go out and do things. And David cared about being regarded in a perhaps romantic light with her. He was a doctor. He had a professional life. It was not true. I mean, it was a very mature and rich, rich friendship. But that was all. And he minded it.
I always thought it was absurd.
Uh-huh. I thought it was absurd because you know, Mrs. Roosevelt was a much older woman than I, and my husband and I were close and happy, and my closeness with Mrs. Roosevelt only enriched my life. And I thought it was a wonderful opportunity for me in every way to enjoy the benefit of her wisdom. And as we would stay together downstairs or upstairs before David came home for dinner, and she would tell me wonderful stories. I was interested mostly in how she functioned, how she accomplished what she did, how she approached life's problems. And I found those times with her very wonderful. So criticism didn't bother me at all.
You were never jealous of her or jealous of the kind of conversation that she would have with your husband?
She was very wise, and I learned to do this with my son-in-law, too. It was a good lesson. I never felt that there were secrets. From the first time that I had dinner with her alone, David brought me to dinner. We sat at a small table, and I saw that on the corner of it, there was papers that she discussed with him very openly in front of me. I was a stranger, almost complete stranger. We'd met a few times before, but this was at a dinner table, and she talked about the mail that she was consulting him on certain questions entirely openly. She was had a very open nature. And I remembered that dinner because a few years after that, sitting on the back porch in Hyde Park, we were having tea, she and I, and I said to her, "You know, Mrs. Roosevelt, the first night that I had dinner alone with you, I was so thrilled that I barely touched my food." And she gave me a typical Mrs. Roosevelt response. She said, "That was foolish of you, dear. You're much too thin." So it was very easy. She was such a great person. She had seen everything, and she made life very easy.
You reprint Mrs. Roosevelt's farewell letter to your husband, David. This was after she got sick with her final illness, and he was leaving for a trip to Peru where there had been a polio outbreak, and he was going to be gone for a while. Would you read this letter to us?
Thursday night. "David, dearest, I've just seen you for the last time, I surmise, till you come home." He had gone to Trujillo, Peru, on a hospital ship. There'd been an outbreak of polio there, and he was going on a vacation, but for 3 weeks. "I write you these lines, which I hope you will read when you are on the plane and all the hurry and worry is over. You will begin then to enjoy and savor the adventure of the trip, and I hope it proves to be all you hope for and that you return refreshed in spirit and less fundamentally weary physically than you are and have been. To me, all goodbyes are more poignant now. I like less and less to be long separated from those few whom I deeply love. Above all others, you are the one to whom my heart is tied, and I shall miss you every moment till we meet again, and I shall come down with Edna and Maria to greet you on your return. I will do all I can to help Edna, for I know this separation will be hard for her to bear. On your side, will you try to think out how to lighten your week a little? A woman needs companionship and a little more leisure than you have been able to find this past winter. We are all selfish when we love someone and want the one to give us to us personally part of the time. And now, an end to preaching. I know what drives you have, and I am deeply appreciative and admiring of the standards and values you set for yourself. God bless you and keep you wherever you are. My prayers and thoughts will be with you constantly. Au revoir and my love always. Enjoy life and take care of yourself."
So in her farewell letter, she's talking to him in part about you and about how he needs to spend more time with you in spite of his busy schedule, that he needs to consider spending more time with his family.
Yes. She and I became really good friends, and she was saying goodbye. And that was, she wanted to be sure that not only he would be happy, but that I would be happy too. And that shows her largesse, as her really greatness as a friend and as a person.
You lost your husband, David, in 1972. I'm just wondering if you ever remarried. Your story ends with the death of Mrs. Roosevelt, and I just wanted to hear a little bit more about what happened in your life afterwards.
I never remarried, and I never found or saw anyone slightly reminiscent of him. He was really, when he died, I thought to myself at once, apart from other feelings, that I would never, how much of the world I would be missing without his perceptions. And nobody that I had met since had those perceptions. Also, it took me quite a while, years, to recover from his death. And by the time I recovered from it and I was standing on my own 2 feet, I sort of liked it. And I find that the older I am, the more interested I become in many things. And so life continued to be very interesting for me, but on my own. And I raised a family. And I'm now a grandmother, which I love very much. And I have enjoyed my life since. But of course, nothing is perfect. And I did have several perfect years, so one can't be greedy.
Have you asked yourself, I'm sure you have, what your husband would have thought if he knew that you were writing this book and reprinting the letters that he and Mrs. Roosevelt wrote each other?
I think he would have loved it. And that's another reason I'm glad this book is there, because, you know, doctors live their lives very privately. That's the nature of their business, so to speak. But Mrs. Roosevelt was such an intuitive person. She was such a wise person. She did not suffer fools gladly. She was so experienced about people that the fact that she loved him, trusted him, and admired him was a great tribute to him. And I'm very glad to have written about it. And I'm sure he would have been pleased if he were around that it was known. It's really a tribute to him.
Well, Edna Gurevich, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. I've loved it.
Edna Gurevich is the author of Kindred Souls, The Friendship Between Eleanor Roosevelt and David Gurevich. This is Fresh Air.